Well, greetings, all of our Facebook family and YouTube family. We want to welcome you to the podcast. Thank you for joining us. All of our Charisma Podcast listeners, we pray the blessing and the peace of the Lord over you, over your family. We're glad you're here. So good to see you. I'm going to welcome all of our guests. Thank you for joining in. Thank you for being with us. We believe God is going to speak in a tremendous way today, and we're excited about the word of the Lord. We're excited you're here with us. So I want to welcome again, Sister. It's so good to see all of you where you're coming in from. Let us know where you're joining, Sister Jeanette, or joining in from Kenya. Denise Neal, the Lord bless you. Thank you for being with us. But Pastor Richard, so good to see you. Sister Nadine Pretorius, a woman of God, and her family all the way from South Africa. Sister Yolanda, thank you for being here. Sister Nikki, China and George. Anna Rosa, thank you for being here. I'm going to ask you if you would to just let us know where you're joining in from. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to do that work of the evangelist and to share the podcast. And we believe in sharing the good news of Jesus. And we're grateful for what he's done and is yet about to do. So if you can do that, I'm going to pray that you grab that device, if you would. We're getting ready to get into the word of the Lord. Good to see you, Denise. Thank you for being here. Grab that device, and if you can open that device up and you can go to the share button there. I know that we're in getting ready for the word. I'm going to take a minute to do that. I'm going to hit that share button. I'm going to share this broadcast. I'm going to believe that God is going to add increase to every hearer of the word as we share the good news. What is our job? To share the good news of the kingdom of God to all nations. And it's imperative that we do that with consistency and regularity. We're excited. So I'm sharing the word of the Lord. Thank you for being with us. Wherever you're joining from, we pray the blessing of the Lord. Let us know where you're watching from. We're praying that God would minister to you directly and that you would get strengthened and revived by what the word of God is today. So good to see you, Brother Z. Thank you for being with us all the way from India. Bless you, man of God. Sister Cindy, the Lord bless you from Beaumont or Banning area. So good to see you, Denise Neal, again. Thank you for joining. We're believing that God is going to speak to us in a supernatural way, and that we would be strengthened and encouraged. Those also watching on the YouTube link, make sure you've subscribed and you're following for any new content that's coming out by God's grace. Bless you, Brother Marco. So good to see you, man of God. You may be working in Hammett or by God's grace, wherever thou art, we're praying that this podcast would bless you and minister to you, and that there would be a release of the presence of God. So let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. I'm going to get right to the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We invite the presence of God onto this podcast to minister wisdom, revelation, counsel. We pray that every distraction, every hindrance would be broken, but that we would be unified to sit at the table of the Lord and to be refreshed and to be revived and to be renewed. Speak to our hearts. Open up our understanding. Let wisdom and revelation be the root of what we do and how we operate in. I ask you for the anointing of your presence to move up and down this podcast, that wherever we are, we would be renewed, and that the presence of the Lord would speak to us now. I pray every distraction be broken, every hindrance be rebuked, and that you would get glory and that you would get honor. I ask it now according to your word. In Jesus' mighty name, we say amen. And amen, amen. Thank you again. I'll remind you one more time before we get to the word of the Lord to share the broadcast. Take just a quick moment. I know you don't want to leave the broadcast, but if you can do that, it would be a great blessing. Bless you, Sister Julie, Sister Anna Rosa, Brother Chris Villalobos. The Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us, Royal Queen, Sister Julie. Again, thank you. We're going to get right to the word of the Lord. Our key verse for the podcast is out of Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 21. And the Bible says, because the creature itself, the creature has a being. The word itself is autos or same. The creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Let me encourage you, everything created has a being. I say it regularly, but I'm going to repeat it again. Everything that exists, bless you, Sister Brandy Lawson. I want to give a special shout out I'm going to ask a pastor to have my wife. We've been praying, and we were glad to see you. Sister Brandy came all the way from Louisiana to be with us at our last RTA. So our hearts and our thoughts are with you. It's so good to meet you and your husband. It was a phenomenal move of God, but we'll be looking to reach out and touch base. But I'm going to encourage you listening. Everything created has a being, has a substance. Whatever is inanimate, you may feel like a desk, a room, the Spirit of God was able to get on objects. So it's not mystical, it's not superstitious. You know, it was just a rod. Moses's rod was just a rod until the Spirit got on the rod. The box, the Ark of the Covenant was just a box overladen with gold, but the presence got on the substance. The sword of Gideon was just a sword. Many hundreds, if not thousands or millions of swords in those days, but the sword of God became a place of impartation and manifestation. Bless you, Pastora. So good to see you all the way from Fresno, and Love's Ministry to you and your husband. The Lord bless you. So God has a mantle that fell from Elijah and fell to the ground, and Elijah picked up the mantle. It was just a garment until God's presence got on it. And the beauty of impartation, the anointing is transferable and it is tangible. You can sense it, you can know it. And so it is possible for things to be endued with the Spirit of God. It is possible that a rod can carry anointing, that a garment, that a handkerchief can carry oil. It's just a shirt, it's just an apron, but according to the book of Acts, the Bible says that the anointing of God got on the handkerchief of Paul, and through the handkerchief of Paul, miracles and signs and wonders and healing begin to happen, and there begin to be breakthrough. And God began to heal by his presence, just by a garment. Now, is there power in the garment? No, it's no different, but it's the oil and the anointing that is symbolized, and it can fill a thing. So let me encourage you, everything created has a being. Your car has a being. That's why some of you name your car Shirley and, Big Red, whatever. You can name things, and everything was made with words. I've said this before. I'm going to reiterate this to you. Here is what the Bible says. The scripture says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and everything was made with word. Verse number three, the scripture says, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be light. And over, God said, he said, let there be firmament. He said, let there be plants. He said, and with his words, he created everything that exists. And he saw that it was good. So they're finding in quantum physics that there are sound waves in everything that exists. All matter has sound in it. Everything that is tangible, everything that can be touched, everything that can be grabbed, everything that can be handled has sound in it. This microphone, it all has substance in it. All that exists has sound in it. Now, let me encourage you by the Spirit of God. God wants that sound to be the word of the Lord. Bless you, Juanita Thomas. So good to see you. God, that sound must be the voice of God in your mouth so that God can redeem the thing. Go back to Romans 8:21. Here is what the scripture says, that everything in creation is going to be delivered into freedom. It's coming out of bondage. It's coming out of slavery. It's coming out of groaning and travailing. Here is what, go if you would, to verse 19. It says, everything that's been created is eagerly anticipating the unveiling of the sons of God. Bless you, Natalie. Thank you for being with us. I'll say this again, Brother Ryan, so good to see you. Everything that exists is eagerly anticipating the entrance of God's sons and daughters into spheres of influence, whether they're spheres of education, whether they are governmental spheres, whether they are church or religious spheres, whether they are arts and entertainment, whether they are the medical sphere. God needs salt and light to go into the darkness and expel the darkness. One thing light does is it expels the darkness. One thing salt does in savoring, it brings preservation, it brings healing, and it creates a thirst. So our job as salt and light is to be light in the earth. That is your job. And everything that exists is making a sound. Verse 19 says, the earnest expectation or the eager anticipation of all of creation is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to come to maturity. Now, let me encourage you. You cannot mature yourself. You can cooperate with God's maturity, but you cannot mature, make yourself become mature. You can choose to overcome. But here is what the scripture says. The Bible says one waters and one plants, but only God can make something grow. You can plant, you can water, but you can't make it grow. Only God can make it grow. God gives the increase. I'll say this again. God wants to give increase. Say that with me, increase. Increase is the ability for something to grow, the ability for something to increase. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6. Paul is writing to a church in Corinthians that the Bible says is a little carnal. You know, they're a little fleshly. One is saying, I'm a student of Apollos, and Apollos my apostle, and Paul is my Apollos, and Cephas, which is Peter, is my, and now there's divisions among the church, and the Bible says Paul begins to correct this carnality because of division, and we see that today. The Bible says that 1 Corinthians chapter 3, four, and while one saith, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, are you not yet carnal? This is a carnal perception. Verse 5, and then is Paul, who then is Paul, and who then is Apollos? Who then is Cephas? They're ministers, they're servants, by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Let me make this very clear to you. Bless you, Daniel. God wants you to realize God don't want division in the body. We're just instruments, but God will use instruments to get you in. God sends representatives. He sends ambassadors to be a gateway between you and God, and you go through them. See, God uses doors. He uses men and women as doors. You're to go through them to greater, to do more than they can do. Their entry point into greater dimensions. You've got to discern who God sent you. The scripture says, who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? They're ministers, the scripture says, even as the Lord gave to us every man. Verse 6 says, I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gives the increase. The translation, I can plant somebody and someone else can water them, but you cannot make them grow. You heard the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can't grow yourself. You can plant the seed. You can water the seed. You can make sure the seed has plenty of sunlight and make sure there's nothing blocking it, but you can't grow something. I remember God said this to me, and I was in prayer. And I was like, Lord, you know, you've called us. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 11 says, we're apostles, we're prophets, we're evangelists, we're teachers. We're sent for the edification of the body, for the perfecting of the saints. We're sent to build up, and our job is to perfect the saints. But then the Bible says that one waters, one plants, and only God can make it grow. I said, look, you've given me a job that I can't do. I can't make the church grow. He said, no, you can't make the church grow. Bless you, Brother Ray. But you can allow me to grow you so that I can grow them. You can allow and cooperate with me. So God is the one that makes it grow. Let me encourage you. Harvest. Let me give you a little bit of a different perspective. Bless you, Pastor Ralph, City of Refuge. We're praying the multiplication for you and for your generation, Pastor. Let me encourage you by the Spirit. God has a plan. God has a mind. God has a destiny. God is something ordained by the Spirit that he is going to do for his glory and his honor. It's called the harvest. Now, in our mind, harvest is when people get saved. I mean, that's what I was taught. There's a harvest of souls coming, but let me encourage you. Let me give you a little bit of clarity. And though, yes, that is a type of harvest when souls, new people are getting baptized and saved and delivered and they come to the kingdom. That's beautiful. And I'm in agreement that there is a mass seed. There is a mass breakthrough of an end time army coming to the Lord, not just church transfers. They're coming in new to the kingdom. They've never been trained. They've never been equipped, but we've got to get it together and get it prepared. Now, let me encourage, that's what God is going to do. But let me encourage you. Harvest is not when a seed is planted. If you're a farmer and you plant the seed, is that harvest? Not yet. How about when the sprout comes? Not yet. How about when the leaf comes and the corn finally shows up? Not yet. The corn has to ripen to full maturation and go from white to yellow and be fully ripened. Then the sickle comes. So harvest is when the church comes to full maturation. Let me encourage you. God is sending the latter rain. You see, the first rain, there were two predominant rains in agriculture. The first rainy season would hit, and the job of the rainy season was to make the ground soft so that when it was time to put the seed, it would be soft enough because of winter and the cold, the ground would get very hard. So God would send the first rain to put the seed. Then in the later season, once the seed had been planted and cultivated, he sent another something called the latter rain, and that latter rain would ripen and fully develop the fruit on the vine, and it would grow to full ripen, and that's the purpose of the latter rain. Let me encourage you. There is a presence, a power, an oil, a baptism of the Spirit that is about to ripen the church. It's going to move us into maturation. Move us, bless you, Sister Alicia. Move us into grace. Move us into power. God is going to do it with us. It's not going to happen by flesh. Not going to happen by power or by might. It's going to happen by his Spirit, says the Lord. God is going to get this. That which began in the Spirit isn't going to be perfected by flesh. I can't make it happen. I can't bring it to pass. But here is what Romans 8:29 says. That everything, Romans 8:19. It says, for the earnest expectation of everything created is eagerly awaiting the unveiling of the mature sons of God, fully mature, developed, integrous character, righteous, and then the power is easy. Power is not hard for God. Giving a man power is easy. Giving a woman a resource is easy. But developing that man to handle that power correctly, growing that woman to handle that authority rightly, that's not an easy thing. God wants to fully mature. Bless you, Pastor George, and the Mark generation. So good to see you. That's right. Fully mature, completely developed. That everything we see and hear, we see it the same way Jesus sees it. 20 says, for the creation was subject to vanity. When there are men and women leading in any atmosphere, any sphere, governmental, educational, business, any in church, that are not influenced and led by the Holy Ghost, that are not mature in the Spirit, that realm is subject to something called vanity. Now, vanity is devoid of truth and appropriateness, perverse, depraved, wanting in vigor and virtue and wholeness, moral depravity. So when there are leaders in any sphere, this works in Hollywood, this works in music, this works in church, this works in government, this works in family. When there is any man or woman in leadership that is devoid of the image of Christ, that place is under curse. It's not going to prosper. It can grow. It can function. But the only reason God is keeping that thing up so that one day he'll transfer it out of the hand of a wicked man into the hand of a righteous, or he'll convert the man or woman of God. There will be no place where the kingdom of God is not established. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord of all. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. I'm going to decree it by the Spirit. The creature, the creation was subject. It was brought under the authority of vanity. Keep reading. Not willingly, but by reason of him that subjected it in hope. When this took place, there was a hope, there was a prophecy. This prophecy is found in Genesis 3, verse 15. They can put this up here. After man fell, after Satan deceived the woman, and the woman helped deceive, and now there was a division. She ate of the fruit, and man fell, and God cursed the ground. When man fell, God never cursed man. God cursed the ground. Bless you, Pastor Joe. So good to see you. Thank you for joining us. When man fell, God did not curse man. He cursed the ground. And when the ground was cursed, the kingdom's domain was now retracted from him. The king's kingdom. Now we are kings without a kingdom. God took man and put him in the garden, said, rule this earth the way I rule heaven. Have dominion over the air. Have dominion over the earth. Have dominion over the waters. Let everything be subject to you the way it's subject to me. You rule creation, but you do not rule and dominate other men. You lead them. You guide them, but you don't rule. See, the difference between God's kingdom and the kingdom of the kingdom of the Antichrist wants to dominate other men. They want to bring them under their feet. They want to have slavery, and they believe in racism, that one race is better than another. No, sir. God is not a respecter of persons. We've all come from one blood. And though I honor the Jewish community and I honor those who got the first covenant, there's a greater covenant that God is establishing on better promises. I don't believe in replacement theology. I don't do that. God doesn't forget a covenant. But God said, I'm raising up those who knew not me to provoke those who were. God is bringing those who were not sheep in to draw those in who were that rejected him. There are two types of seed. Abraham has earthly seed of the sand. Then Abraham has heavenly seeds like stars. So Abraham had two types of descendants. The Bible says if you're a Christian, you are a son of Abraham and a daughter of Sarah. Are you listening? So there's the earthly seed, which is of the earth earthly, but there are heavenly stars above that were born not from flesh and blood, but were born of the Holy Ghost, a better covenant on better promises. And God will fulfill the old. But make no mistake about it, God is not a racist. He don't love or not love based on your color, your creed. He's not a respecter of person. He don't love you because you're black or white or brown or polka dot. He says, all men came from one blood. When I made Adam, I made him one blood. God is not a racist. Don't believe. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. All are one in Christ. We are one in him, male nor female. For those that don't like women preachers, praise the Lord. The Bible says there's neither male nor female. All are one. I'm in Galatians now. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither Jew nor Greek. They're all one in Christ. This is the power of once we're in him. We're one with him, and God don't see black or brown or yellow or man or woman or Jew or Gentile. He sees Christ. He sees him on us. He doesn't see you. He sees me. The creation, and the Bible says, according to Genesis 3:15, that there would be enmity, there would be hatred, and there would be variance. I've got to be careful with the wording of this, but the Bible says there is something called the seed of Satan. That is the generational seed. They are not humans. This sounds weird. In the Bible, they were Nephilim. In the Bible, the scripture says the sons of God or the angels slept with the sons of men, and they made a race that were not human. So have you ever read in the Bible when God is saying, you know, I need you to go wipe out these people, go and kill all the men, I'm fine, but then go kill the women, the children, the babies? I mean, this is perverse. I mean, what kind of, you know, being says go kill children? He said, son, these were not humans. These were the seed of the serpent. They were mutants. They were not of me, and I had to cut them. He said, you ever hear God say, I'm going to cut them off from the remembrance of the earth? They were mutants. So if what the enemy wants to do is pervert the seed, God is always watching the seed. Christ is a seed. They were not of God. Bless you, Shamila. They were not from the Lord. So he said, I will put enmity between thee, which is the serpent. He's talking to the serpent and the woman, and between her seed and between your seed. So wait a minute. The seed of the woman is Christ. And the Bible says that he's going to crush the head of the serpent. But the serpent is going to stick Christ and pierce us in the foot, bruise our heel. But there is a seed of the serpent, and there is a seed of those in the earth that do not fear God, do not care. There's some people you're not to pray for. I know that sounds, I'm going to pray for everybody. You need to pray in the Holy Ghost. There are some people in governmental spheres you don't pray for. Well, then the Bible says pray for leadership that you may have a quiet and peaceful life. It does say that, but the Bible says that Daniel in Babylon governed during five kings, and some of them he prayed for, and some of them he counseled, and then some of them he canceled. Some of them he said, look, you know what, the hand, you know, you just need to pray for that king so that it go well. No. The handwriting showed up on the wall. They had touched the vessels, and the Bible says that the hand appeared on the wall, and the Bible says tonight that king is out of here. God determined a judgment against him. You don't get to pray what you want or manipulate the verse to say what you want it to say. You need to follow the Holy Ghost. And if the Lord says, pray for the man, pray for the man. If the Lord says, cover the man, cover the man. If the Lord says, he's not of me, he'll never repent, you pray him out of office. That's your job. Not to pray what I feel like I think it means just because I don't want to be controversial. And for those that say, well, according to Romans 13, you need to reread Romans 13 and understand by the Holy Ghost, we've got to stand for the word of God, and we are not called to bow to demonic forces. Daniel 6 verse 10, they can put it up. The Bible says there was a demonic decree made from the king that Daniel was not to pray to any other god. So what are you going to do if they say no prayer? Are you going to bow to no prayer? You going to give them your Bible? Are you going to deny the name of Jesus? Well, you got to obey earthly authority. No. You obey the law of the land until the law of the land interferes with the law of the word of God. There is a supreme law greater than the law of the land, the law of the word of God. Well, I don't know about that. No, sir. No, ma'am. You never give up your Bible. You never deny the name of Jesus. You never stop the forsaking of yourself together in an assembly, because it's not just going to church. You become the church and you protect your region. There are certain things you don't not do. Are you listening to me? There are certain things you never let go of. So the Bible says there is a decree made by the king of Babylon, and Daniel's under Babylon. He's under this subject. He's under the kingdom. He follows the law. But now they said, look, these people hated Daniel. They said, look, we can't find any dirt on Daniel. Daniel lives righteous. He don't got no woman on the side. He don't have a weed habit on the side. He's not secretly watching pornography. I can't find nothing on the man. I can't find nothing. So here's what, the only way we can get Daniel, we've got to get Daniel based on his God. He won't deny his God. So here's what we're going to do. These counselors tricked the king to make a decree that for 30 days or more than 30 days, you can pray to any other God in the kingdom except the God of the king. And the Bible says they got him to sign this thing. Now, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, the law was signed, he went to his home, and with his window being opened, he opened the window toward Jerusalem, and he knelt down on his knees three times a day, and he prayed and he gave thanks. A civil act of peaceful disobedience. I'm not obeying this. You're not going to get me to stop praying. You're not going to get me to stop reading the word. You're not going to take the name of Jesus away from me. You can write all the laws you want. I live by another law. Whatever, you know, apostle, this is the word of God. He knew the letter was signed, the Bible says, and this is why we must have men and women of courage leading churches, leading government, leading education, leading the things of God. Bless you, Admiral Rocio. So good to see you. He knew the writing was signed. He knew the law had been passed, and he didn't say, well, you know, I'm just going to take a 30-day vacation and begin to pray. I'm going to begin to pray and ask God to use me. I'm going to pray for 30 days and take a respite. No. I'm going to go before the Lord, and I'm going to seek God with all of my heart, with all of my mind. I'm going to pursue the Lord in righteousness, in purity, in holiness, and there is a move. Now, Daniel knew the writing was signed, and he knew the law had become. Then he went to his house. I said, Lord, how come Daniel didn't just pray with his windows closed? God told me this. I'll repeat this. About 3 years ago, and in the middle of COVID, almost 4 years ago now, and we were online, and I was like, well, the Lord told me to keep doing this and keep having church and keep laying hands on the sick and keep anointing with oil. And in my mind, I was like, Lord, I'm obeying you. And maybe we'll just come off the internet. We'll just shut down the Facebook and come back in a couple of years. And he said to me, son, you've got to keep the window open because the earth needs a witness. I said, what does that mean? When you make a decision to not follow the flow of the world because of my voice, you are testifying against the earth and being a witness of this sin and this unrighteousness. I said, yes, sir. He would have saved a lot of trouble if he would have closed the door and just prayed in quiet. You know, can't you pray in quiet? Yes. But he had to open his window and be a witness to the earth. See, when Noah built that ark, he testified against the wickedness of his generation. When Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego refused to bow their knee in public, they testified that this is not God, that Jehovah is God, that this statue is not God, and you can blow your flute all you want, you can threaten us all you want, but our God is well able to keep us. There's got to be a confidence in you. And Daniel opening his window was a testimony against this spirit, not against a man. And he had to be willing to face the lion because God was going to close the mouth of the lion. Then he kneeled down 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks as he did before. He had a prayer life. Verse 11, the Bible says that he kept praying. And these men assembled. That's what the church is. They assembled. They gathered to destroy Daniel. And they found Daniel praying and making supplication. What a sin. What a wicked guy. What an evil man. See, that's what Babylon is. Babylon is just like Egypt. Egypt wants slavery. But the difference between Babylon and Egypt is Babylon will change the names of stuff. They will change your name. You were Daniel, they'll change you to Belteshazzar. You are Hananiah, Azariah. You had an Israelite name, then they'll switch your name and they'll call you Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. These were their Babylonian names. And the devil wants to rename you. The devil wants to call you a man in a woman's body and a woman in a man. The devil wants to say, oh, it's fine. It's fine. It's not fine. It's a spirit. What sin is there for a man to pray? The man is just praying. The man is just going before his God, living right, serving, and they make him an enemy for doing right. You understand that's the season we are in, and God needs the Daniels and the Davids and the men of God to stand up with boldness and to decree with all of their heart, my God is well able to deliver me, but even if he doesn't, I will not bow to this demon. I will not bow to this spirit. You've got to make a decree. You love everybody. You respect everybody, but you cannot tell me to violate the laws of God. Verse number 20, the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, Romans 8:20. But by reason of him who subjected in hope that the seed, I'm in Romans 8 verse 20, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Because the creature will be delivered, the creation itself will be delivered. Bless you, Sister Sandra. They will be set free. Creation will be set free. It will be set free. Go to 22. I'm going back to 20 in a moment. For we know that everything, the whole, the all, the word whole is all. The word whole is everything, individual, everything, all, everyone, everything, all of creation, everyone and everything in creation is groaning and travailing until now. Everything created, everything visible, every spirit, every angel, every demon is under, you feel the groan and the, all that has been created, plants and animals and stars and moons and earth and systems and structures and buildings and cars and property and land and acreages, all that has been created is in a groan. It is making a sound, but that sound is a groan. It is a, that word groan and travail is tied to labor pains. It is in pain waiting to give birth. Wait, this travail, this word travail is not a just I'm in pain. I'm in birthing. You know, the closer you get to giving birth, the more intense the contractions get and the more frequent they come. When you're going to birth and it's time to birth, you can start to feel contractions. You get to the 9th month, the 8th or 9th month, and now you feel contractions. I remember with my last daughter at the moment, Zoe, we were getting ready to have her come, and it was about a month away. It should have been close to a month, maybe 3 weeks away. And I had committed to go to South Africa, and the Lord, I prayed on it. The Lord told me to go. I don't go because I feel like it. I don't go because I'm invited. I go because God said go. And the Lord told me to go. It's about 3 years ago. It's still during the pandemic time. This June, it'll be 3 years. And the day before I'm about to get on the plane, my wife begins to have severe contractions. They just get very strong, and they just start to get strong. And I'm praying for her that night. We're in Lake Elsinore at the time in our home, and we're praying, and I'm just covering them. Lord, what do you want me to do? I've not missed any of the births of my children. I don't plan to now, but I'm going to keep my word. I don't break my word. I'm going to do what I said. I'm going to be where you told me to go. And I begin to pray. I said, Lord, if you want me to cancel, I can do that. But I feel that, what do you want? He said, go. I'm going to be with you. And praying, I begin to lay hands on my wife. I said, Lord, I pray over Pastor O. I pray over this baby that's coming. I pray over Zoe. And Lord, it is my heart to be here to meet her. It is my heart to be here to be in the labor and delivery room. That's my heart. I've not missed any births, but I'm on assignment. My life is not my own. And if you're going to hold this baby till I get home. If you can't and you need the baby to come and there's something that's needful, let her come. And I just agreed. And it got stronger that night, got on the airplane, and the contractions didn't stop until I put my foot. I actually asked her around the same time, that same hour that I touched down in South Africa, the contractions stopped. And I ministered probably about 10 days, and I hurried home. As soon as we got done, I hurried back home. I slept maybe 3 hours, and then the water broke. Just like that, the water broke. The next morning, I'm half asleep, jet lag, but I'm there with baby. God is, I said that to say, God is faithful to him and to those who will be faithful with their assignments. God has to trust you. And the contractions that increased were a sign of something was birthing from that world to this world. There's something called postpartum depression, because you're not sleeping, your body's healing, but mainly you're bringing something from that world to this world. And there must be a covering of prayer and intercession to steward what you've received. Let me encourage you, verse 22 says, all of creation is groaning and travailing. Bless you, Sister Eunice. Bless you, Sister Barbara. Bless you, Brother Reuben. Thank you for being there. All of creation is in this travail. And the closer we get to God manifesting his sons or revealing his sons, the closer or revealing this next generation, the contractions and the shakings and the tribulations are going to get stronger. But don't be afraid. It's nothing to fear. Go to, if you would, Matthew 24. It talks about this. And verse 6, the Bible says that we're not to be deceived. We're to be those who discern the season and the time. Actually, go back to 5, Matthew 24, verse 5 says, many will come in my name and shall deceive many. The job of the enemy is to bring deception. The snake's tail is to deceive. He said it before. I repeat it, and I must consistently examine my heart over and over. You're a believer. You're a pastor now. You're an apostle. You got to keep examining your heart, because one of the greatest seeds for deception is offense. If I'm offended internally, even subconsciously, it's going to move me into a deception from the tail. The Bible says that the snake's tail deceived one third of the stars in heaven. Those were the angels of the Lord. But also in the last day, a great falling away will come. And the Bible prophesies of that. And those that do not know the Lord, but the word know is the word intimately walk with him and keep their heart free from offense. The enemy wants to bring deception. Many will come saying, I'm Christ, and deceive many. The enemy wants to deceive. Verse 24, verse 6 says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of war. Do not be troubled. Don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. The end is not yet. It's not time for the conclusion yet. There's some things that must come. Keep reading. Do not be troubled. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines. What is division between nations, colors, peoples, groups, settings, governments? They'll begin to be at variance in a degree that it gets so intense it's unbearable. What is famine? The word famine is lack, shortages. Shortages of water, shortages of bread, unfortunately, shortages of resource. Famines is shortages, but then also pestilences is epidemics, sicknesses, diseases, national and international diseases, pandemics, global outbreaks of infirmity, earthquakes in different kinds of places. But here is what verse says, all these things are the beginning of sorrow. Now, this word sorrow is the word Odin. It means childbirth pain, travail, birth pains of the children getting ready to be birthed. So let me encourage you by the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 22 says, this groaning, this travailing, this war, this attack is about birthing something. You're feeling it and creation is feeling. Everything that you're feeling, now the creation is groaning. The earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the nations, the buildings, the properties, the schools, the churches, the vehicles, the resource, the plants, the animals, everything. But not only they, verse 23 says, not only they, but we within ourselves. So some of you are feeling the groanings and the travails of creation. Discern it. You're not under attack. You're not depressed. You're not emotionally unstable. You're feeling the birth pains of creation. You're feeling the people you're going to deliver, even though you've never met them. The Bible says, like prophet, like people, like shepherd, like sheep, and the people are in you. They're in you now. They're inside of you now. They're in you now. And you feel their pain. You've never met them. You feel their burdens. You've never experienced everything you're going to do in your future. You feel it now. Something's not wrong with you. Something's right with you. But you've got to discern how to handle what you feel, what to do. Not only they, but ourselves also, which are the first fruits of the Spirit. We're the first. We groan within ourselves. That's what the groaning is. That's what the travail is. That's what the weights are, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. Go back to 21 as we conclude. Here is the scripture. The creation itself will be free from bondage and corruption into the glorious freedom of the sons of God. God wants freedom in our generation. He needs you to do it. In order for there to be freedom, there must be sons and daughters that must lead us into this freedom. The leadership, the headship, the rulership, the governmental authority, whether it's in government, whether it's in politics, whether it's in education, whether it's in the church, whether it's in family, in all seven spheres, must change. Blessing, Brother Stephen. So good to see you, man of God. God wants to release righteous government. Righteous authority. Our last verse, the Bible says the foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. I'll say that again. The foundation of his throne is justice and righteousness. It's the foundation of the throne. That means that what keeps the throne intact is a righteous and a just leadership. Justice. Truth, purity. God wants to release justice. If you could go to Isaiah 9. Actually, we'll read Psalms. Yeah, we'll read Isaiah 9, 7, and then Psalms 89, 14. It's found a few places, but Isaiah 9, 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That means every knee, every power, every demon, every spirit is going to bow. God is going to raise up men and women who know their God, and those that know their God will do great exploits of his increase and government. It will be endless. It will go throughout all of the universe, all of the quasars, all of the galaxies, and everything will come under the dominion of God. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice forever. The foundation of David, it's worship, it's purity, but it's judgment, righteous decisions, and justice. It's righteousness and justice. Psalms 89 verse 14 also says justice and righteous judgment, ordinance, decree, justice and righteousness are the habitation or the foundation of the throne of God. Mercy and truth go before you. So in order for this to happen, I've got to get ready. Let me encourage you. I know church is important. I know church spheres are important, but the church model is changing. God is showing a remnant what that pattern looks like. But in order for us to do and be what's necessary, in order for us to operate in authority the way it needs to happen, God needs a people, a remnant, a body who knows who their God is and allows God to develop us. All right, one quick question. How old was Jesus when his earthly ministry began? How old was he? Give you just a minute. I'm sure many of you know he was 30. How many years did he minister? Jesus ministered 3.5 years on this earth. Everything he did, there it is. There's a few that confirmation. 3 years. You say, Lord, I've been in this process. Listen. He prepared 30 for three. His model was 30 for now. I don't believe we got all that time left. Some are, I'm coming up on 30. I'm preparing and chasing God and seeking the vision for, I've been pursuing this year and pressing after the kingdom of God for 20s. This is after this year, we're going into our 28th year, but for 27 years chasing a vision. I don't believe you've got 30 years to chase the vision. I've been seeking God in ministry for 27 years. I had a vision and a visitation in 1999 of what God would do in the end time. And that he told me what I would be. And for the last 25 years, I've been chasing it, but I've also been developing into it. I'm growing into it. I'm not there. I'm growing. We've got to grow into it. We've got to develop into it. We've got to, and we've got to be proven and tried, not because God is just attacking us. He's trying to show that we can handle the weight of what's coming and blessing. I got to pray for you. Bless you, Corinthia. Let's pray. Father, I pray over those under the sound of my voice. These men and women are world changers. These men and women are those mighty vessels who will change the course of this generation. They are those who are leaders. I see Esther's on the line. I see Ruth's and Deborah's. I see queens and rulers in the kingdom of God and in business, in finance and education, in arts. I see kings and rulers like Daniel, like Joseph. I see mighty men like David's being risen from the sheepfolds to go to the palace and to bring purity to perversion. God, I pray over these men and women under the sound of my voice. And I declare, Lord, continue to form us. Continue to develop us, continue to grow us, continue to shape us into your image, after your likeness, so that you can get all of the glory and that you can get all of the honor. I decree now that these are the sons and daughters of God who all of creation is waiting for. That they are waiting for you to know who you are in Christ. That God show you who you are and shows you whose you are and shows you what you possess so that you can be risen for the glory of God, and that as he raises you, he will not lose you. You will draw closer to him as ever before. I pray it according to the word, and I thank you for safety. I thank you for peace. I thank you for energeo. I thank you for anointing. I thank you for refreshing. And I thank you that God, you wrote your name on them and you will not let them fail. You're going to be good to them for your namesake. This I pray according to your word and according to your promise in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen, amen, amen. Bless you, Brother Uriah Martinez. The Lord bless you and your family. God increase you. I just see increase is here. And this increase is a new level of maturation. I'm praying this, that God would give me another level of maturity mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that God would be able to trust me with more. I'm not asking God to give me more than my measure. I'm asking God to grow me, grow integrity, grow purity, grow righteousness, grow character, grow patience, grow long-suffering, grow gentle. I'm asking him for these things. Because if I can get these things in my spirit man, when God raises the man or woman, that man will go from glory to glory. They will not be a shooting star. They will be a North Star. A shooting star is here for a moment and gone the next moment. They flash and they burn. They burn out. But a North Star is a constant, consistent, faithful, enduring son who trusts God. At the end, the Bible says the race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but to the man and to the woman that endures to the end. I decree, that's right, Sister Mary Keys, you are a North Star. You will endure to the end, and God has a crown for you. So the Lord bless you. I pray you are encouraged by this word. You are that Daniel. You are, bless you, Ulysses Lopez. You are that Esther. You are standing for your generation. Do not bow to the pressure of this world, but remain consistent and hold to the word of God, and God will do exactly what he said. That's right, Pastor George. Endurance. Bless you, Sister Avita. God bless you. Endurance. Give us the ability to endure. That's found in Hebrews 12:2. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty. Be encouraged. Your good season isn't coming. It is here. He's going to do exactly what he said, and God's going to get the glory through your life. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if this word spoke to you, touched you, I won't say entertained, because that's not what we do, but if it captivated your spirit, I'm going to ask you to hit that share button. Bless you, Sister Tina. Hit that like button. Hit that follow. Tag a few people that need to hear the word of the Lord. God will lift you in due season. Don't you make no mistake. He knows your season and your time, and you're not going to miss it. He's chosen you. So if you were blessed, sow the offering of sharing. Hit that share button. Do it once, do it twice, and we believe God is adding increase to the word of the Lord. God bless you all listening. Thank you for joining us. Got a few announcements coming, but also to our Charisma Podcast Network, we're praying for you that as you hear this podcast, you are encouraged, you are refreshed, and you are revived in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast with Apostle Nathaniel Leon. Stay up to date with our latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, YouTube, or by liking us on Facebook at This Rock International. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.